Church not too long ago at a fellowship meeting, and the pastor had a fellowship time like we just had, and folks weren't going back to their seats, and he's an older man and somewhat gruff, and they said, you know, hey, you know, everybody go back to your seats and have a seat, and folks were still talking, and he said, hey, I said shut up and sit down. I promise. And the crazy thing was, everybody got silent and went and sat down. He was serious. Scott, you know what I'm talking about. I don't know if you were there for that, but everybody just shut up and sit down. All right. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're at tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Chicken heart. Yeah. I'm going to lose a heartbeat if it doesn't work. Somebody's going. There? Just give me this. That'll be fine. It may speed me up a little bit. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, we started... I said it may. That doesn't guarantee that it will speed me up, but I get a little uncomfortable just standing here, I will tell you, but amen. All right, let's focus in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by God. By the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to draw your attention tonight to verse number 3, where the scripture says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. We're going to talk tonight about our faith in creation. Our faith in creation. Let's pray tonight, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we pause for this moment to ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. Fathers, we've gathered here tonight. We've come to hear from heaven. We've come to hear from your holy word. And God, I pray that you would just meet our needs tonight in a spiritual way. Father, that our faith might be increased, that we might be full of your joy, that we might be full of your faith, that it might be exceeding and abundantly clear that you are our God. And I pray that you would just move within our midst tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we looked last week, and we've got an introductory thought as to Hebrews chapter 11, I told you we're going to go line item here. And the first one we come to, as in verse number 2, it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report by faith. And through that faith, they obtained this report, and we're going to look at the elders from the Old Testament as it starts with the faith of Abel and then Enoch and Noah, Abraham and Sarah, and so on. We're going to look at those, but before that, it starts in verse number 3 by saying, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are not seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, the first thing I want to speak about tonight is the fact that faith in creation and really a attitude of biblical faith, but faith in creation involves trust in one who is faithful. It is putting our trust in someone who is faithful. I want you to go back to verse number one. Notice where the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We have a substance in which we are talking about in verse number three, as he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The substance in which we are putting our faith in is not necessarily the world, but the fact that God created the world and that his voice spoke and the world came into existence. And it is not based primarily on our own personal experience. For none of us could say that we were there when the world was created. So we don't have a personal experience in that, that we could say we're there, or even a certain evidence of saying that we were there, but rather our evidence that we have, as it says here, the evidence of things not seen, the evidence that we have is in the very character of God. That is where we're placing our faith and our trust in. And so in the case of creation, we trust that God created it because he is faithful. Now, I want you to hold your place in Hebrews chapter 11 here. If you have a little hanging down ribbon, you can put it there and hold it. I want you to go back to the book of Genesis because I want you to see this account in which we are talking about in Hebrews chapter number 11. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seeds, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, with the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our own likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. I'm going to stop reading there. We just read Genesis chapter 1, a wonderful account of God creating the world. Now, we know that from the beginning of time, Satan himself has caused a doubt in a mistrust to believe the Word of God. Satan always has attacked the Word of God and will continue to attack the Word of God. And as we read this account and as we see this, we choose to put our faith, to put our trust, to put our belief in what God did that day. Now, I want to remind you that when it comes to our faith and when it comes to our belief, it is not our belief in something that makes something true. It is not our belief in something that makes something true. It is not our faith in something that makes something true. Truth makes the truth true. Can I say it like that? Truth makes the truth true. A lie makes a lie a lie. Take that in for what it's worth. But I want you to notice, as we read through this, at each step of the way, God saw that it was good. In every step that God did, and may I remind you that God only does that which is good. Amen? He saw that it was good. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, he said, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy. You see, we serve and we have a faithful God. And it is in that faithful God that we can place our faith and trust. When we talked about last week, as we introduced this line of thinking along the lines of our faith, we introduced the fact that we place our hope and our trust and our faith in God and God alone. It is in that that we can say that in creation that we are trusting in the one who is faithful. We say, and some have said, well, it takes even more faith to believe evolution. And as we're thinking about this, and as we're looking at this, as we look at the biblical definition of faith, okay? Again, the biblical definition of faith is putting our trust in one who is faithful. When you consider that those that might believe or come to a place where evolution, it does require a certain amount of faith. But we need to understand that the faith in evolution is simply a blind faith, because there is a difference. in a blind faith and in a biblical faith. Let me explain to you very quickly what the blind faith is. Blind faith requires no record. It doesn't require any evidence. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines faith as something that is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. That is not described biblical faith. Amen? For a biblical faith is an evidence. We have an evidence in someone who is faithful. But a blind faith, if you will, is there's no substance or assurance or things or of things. It is simply just a blind faith. And so we may say, well, the earth is however many years old, and we can go through, and it's man that came up with its own testing for those things, and many of them have been disproven and in this. But as we come to this and we say, all right, where am I going to put my faith? Am I going to put my faith blindly in something that has no proof, that has no evidence, that has no substance, that has no assurance? Am I going to put that in there, or am I going to put it in something that I can trust because there is faithfulness there? We know in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Can I tell you tonight that God is faithful? He was faithful to give us his account of creation. Amen? You see, we don't have to wonder whether or not God created the heavens and the earth. We don't have to debate it. We don't have to, we don't even have to fully understand it. Amen? I mean, I will be the first to tell you, I don't fully understand how God could speak and it just happened. I don't understand that. Maybe one day we will understand that. I don't understand how God could speak it and the grass started to grow. And God spoke it and said everything that has a seed is going to reproduce itself after its own kind. What that means is a corn seed is going to produce what? Corn. Not apple trees, right? An orange seed is going to produce bananas, right? No. Not going to happen. It's going to produce oranges. And a banana is going to produce bananas and so on and so forth. And pecans are going to produce pecans, not peanuts. Walnuts are going to produce walnuts. Come on now. That's what God said. Do I understand that, how that works? No, I really don't. I have no clue, but I have faith in God. And I have faith that he spoke it and it happened. He saw it and he said, that's good. That's good. Now we can appreciate that, can't we? I mean, I know there have been times in my life I've gone through, and Brother Don, I've done a job, and you look back at the end of the day and you just, I just say, that's good. I did a good job there. And we take pictures and we want everybody to see it. And we say, that's good. Look at this. I did that. Right? You ever been there? Brian, you ever been there? That's a good job. Miss Peggy, did a good job. And we say, oh man, that's good right there. God looked back and he said, that's good. That's good. Everything he made, everything he did, that's good. And through faith, we believe this. You see, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse in 15, he said that we must be ready to give an answer. We have to have an answer. We must be ready to defend the substance of things in which we have hope. You see, we must be ready. We must be prepared. And you know, we can sit back and we can debate all day long and we can debate all night long, but what it really comes down to is whether or not someone's going to put their faith in what God says. And I'm telling you tonight that you can put your faith in what God says because you can trust him. God has a proven record. He has a proven record in what he has done. I want you to notice again in verse number 3, he says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You see, while our faith in creation involves trust in one who is faithful, trusting in evolution or having faith in evolution requires a blind faith. But I want you to notice that we have some plain evidence. As we just read in Genesis chapter 1, and we have even in Hebrews chapter 11, we find some scriptural evidence. And scriptural evidence is that God created the earth. Again, I use this all the time, and we talk about the things that we create. We talk about how wonderful and smart man is, and there have been some geniuses out there. There have been some less than geniuses out there, but in our own right, we all have a certain amount of intelligence, and we use that intelligence. And again, we do things and we create things in our mind often, but we call our own creations. And we make things, we do, you know, I'll tell you, the technology that we have today. Matt and I were talking about this the other day. Just, you know, can you imagine, 25 years ago, what the technology would be today, and imagine what it's going to be in 5 years from now? I mean, I can remember, some of you might remember this, but I thought it was the coolest thing ever. How many of you watched Pee-wee's Playhouse? I hate to admit this. But anybody watch Pee-wee's Playhouse? Rocky, you watch Pee-wee's Playhouse? Greg won't admit it, but I know he did. I can tell by the look on his face. I watched it. It made me laugh. Forgive me. I'm a heathen, I know. But I watched the show. And they had on there where he would talk to a television screen. And someone would come up and they would see him. And he could see them, and they were talking, and we're like, wow, wouldn't that be awesome? You could talk and see each other in your TV. That would be amazing. Little did I know, in my lifetime, you can talk to someone in a screen, and they can see you, and you can see them. And not only that, but we can carry it around in our telephones. I mean, I still remember a telephone with a cord on it. It's almost unbelievable, Brother Don. Hey, Elijah, if you think that one's good, Brother Don remembers when he had to share a telephone line with the whole neighborhood. They called it a party line. They called it a party line, and everyone in the neighborhood, you would pick up the phone, and Miss Ethel down the road was still talking. And you'd have to say, hurry up, Miss Ethel, and hang up the phone. Everybody shared a phone line. That's true. And now we carry it around in our pockets, and we watch television on it. And we listen to music on it. I mean, technology, I mean, my goodness. Some of you remember Polaroid cameras. They still have them. But you'd take a picture, it came out, and you'd have to do this with it. And you'd see the picture develop right in front of you. You're like, wow, no dark room. Kids, you don't even know what a dark room is, do you? It's not with all the lights out. It's not where the boogeyman lives. It's where they develop pictures. The dark room. They used to have that. Now, again, we carry it on our telephones and we take pictures. And we're just smart people, aren't we? I mean, just technology. I mean, we are technological geniuses. Pretty soon, we're just going to have them implanted in our heads and just hit a button. Yes, dear. I think it's coming. I don't know, but it's coming. Just click your head. That's what they do on TV now. Look, I'm telling you, TV foretells this stuff. I'm sorry, dear. I'm embarrassing her. But you click it. Hey, hello? Excuse me, I'm having a conversation. Yes, go ahead. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but we're geniuses when it comes to technology. But you know what I still say? Just speak and make something. Oh, we're real good at cutting a tree down and making a beautiful piece of furniture. Creating something out of that. We take plastic and mineral or coppers and gold and all this stuff, and we make beautiful jewelry of it. But when's the last time you heard of someone just speaking something and something happened? I don't know of it happening since God did it. Why? Because He's God. And we're man. And we were made in His image. We weren't made God. Amen? And it is our responsibility to have faith in what God says. And we have a scriptural evidence of what God did. And He preserved it for us. And He gave it to us. And we can put our faith and our hope and our trust in what God says. And through faith, notice this, through faith, we understand. You say, Pastor, you speak of this as if it's a fact. Yeah, because I understand it. And certainly it is through faith that I understand it. But I understand that the worlds were framed by the very Word of God because He spoke it. You say, how can you be so sure of that? Well, because the Bible tells me. The Bible tells me that. I have a scriptural evidence of the substance that is there. Notice he says, which are seen, were not made of things which do appear. In John chapter 1, he said, all things were made. And without him was not anything made. Nothing that has ever been made was made without God. You say, oh, look what I did. Well, you couldn't have done it without God. Go ahead. Make it. Make it all. Not only do we have scriptural evidence, but you know, we have evidence of those things around us. We see it. Doth not nature itself speak of itself? Again, make something by speaking it. Then you could say, oh, that's good. That's good. You see, we don't have that. All we have is our faith. I want you to notice in verse number 6, I'm going to come here for just a few moments. Because while the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, without our faith in God, it is impossible to please Him. So I want to please God. What can I do to please God? We think of that way in our relationships, don't we? I want to please my wife. I want to please my children. My children want to please me. I want to please my friends. I want to please our church. I want to please everybody. Well, what does that require? It requires me doing something. I wish it were as simple as I believe in my wife. Are you pleased? No. But with God, it's that simple. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is what? That He's God. Can we start there? I must believe that He is God, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But it starts with faith. How can I place my faith in that? Well, biblical faith involves trusting in one who is faithful. God is faithful. His word tells us so. Scriptural evidence, evidence all around us, it's plain. And our faith in Him pleases Him. It pleases Him. Let's pray tonight, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, as our faith fluctuates, may we truly understand who You are. God, I'm so grateful that You tell us in Your Word that even faith as the size of the grain of a mustard seed is enough faith to remove mountains. God, may we have that faith. And may it be increased. God, may it even be increased to maybe even the size of a pumpkin seed. Or the size of a walnut. Oh, can only imagine what we could do with that. God, increase our faith. May we not be faithless, but may we be full of faith. May it be complete in us. May it cause us to scale mountains for You. And You alone. May it be pleasing to You. Help us in this. In Jesus' name we come. We pray.